in Ohio. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I just want you to be encouraged today because we know that the Lord says in the Word that He will not just do what we expect, but He will go well beyond what we can expect and what we can even imagine. Amen? So I want you to keep your heart open. I want you to make sure that every day we're walking in that faith journey that allows God to touch, change, transform, and help us in every dimension. Amen? So this morning we're going to step into worship and we're going to be so thankful for the goodness of God and what He has ahead for us. Amen? So let's worship the Lord this morning. Praise.
Amen. Are we ready to worship this morning?
Yes.
Amen. You know, worship is not about what we get out of worship, but worship is what God gets out of worship.
That's right.
Amen. So today, let's just praise Him and worship Him with our whole heart. Forget everybody around you. Listen, if you're the only one shouting, shout.
That's right.
It don't matter. God hears you. Amen. And it don't sound stupid. It sounds like you love your God and you're giving Him your worship and your praise. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So let's just come and just worship Him today and praise Him. Hallelujah.
Gotta dance through the darkness, sing through the fire, praise when it don't make sense. Sometimes you gotta stare down the giant, worship from the lion's den. Sometimes you gotta shout it from the mountain, louder in the valley, trusting that He's gonna get you there. Sometimes you gotta welcome the wonder, wait for the answer, worship with your hands in the air. I'll praise you anywhere, praise, give you praise, give you praise in the highest. Praise, give you praise, give you praise in the highest. You are worthy, yes, you are worthy of all of our praise. Sometimes you gotta praise in the prison, cry out to heaven, shout it till the doors swing wide. Sometimes you gotta stand on your shackles, brave in the battle, worship with your hands held high. I'll praise you anywhere, praise. Give you praise in the highest. Praise, give you praise, give you praise in the highest. You are worthy, yes, you are worthy of all of our praise. wanting a place to hide this weary soul, this bag of bones. And I try with all my might, but I just can't win the fight. I'm slowly drifting, a bag of bones. And just when I ran out of rope, I met a man I didn't know, and he told me that I was not alone. You picked me up, turned me around, placed my feet on solid ground. I thank the Savior because you healed my heart, changed my name, forever free. I'm not the same. The Master, I thank the Savior, I thank God. I cannot deny what I see, got no choice but to believe. My doubts are burning like ashes in the wind. So long to my old friend. Burden and bitterness, you can't just keep it moving, cause you're not welcome here. From now till I walk the streets of gold, I'll sing of how you saved my soul. This wayward son is bound his way back home. You picked me up, turned me around, placed the Master. I thank the Savior because you healed my heart, changed my name. I'm not the same. I thank the Master. I thank the Savior. I thank God.
Woo! Hallelujah! Hallelujah, Jesus, we worship you. You are worthy to be praised. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
To the beginning, can't control what tomorrow will bring, but I know here in the middle is the place that you promised to be.
Yeah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's give you it all.
Thank you, Jesus.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind, 'cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. And I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. 'Cause your name is power, your name is healing, your name. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety. Yes, come on. To every soul held captive by depression, I speak Jesus. 'Cause your name. Your name is shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy.
Come on, Jesus for my family.
Jesus for my family. Yes. I speak the holy name, Jesus.
Every mind, 'cause I know there is peace within His presence. I speak Jesus.
Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Hallelujah. The name above every name. Amen.
Amen. It's time for that
the
name
power.
To fire you up
Amen.
Like never before.
Amen.
Amen. To get you so excited.
Amen.
Because there's authority and there's power Amen. In that name for you.
Amen.
What is bigger than the name of Jesus?
Amen. Hallelujah.
There's no other name
Amen.
Like the name of Jesus. It's
Amen.
It is a time to allow darkness and sin
Amen.
To come off of us.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
To live by the word Hallelujah. Of God and what the word of God Amen. Says alone.
Hallelujah.
Not
Amen.
By anybody else's truth, but by God's truth.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
It's time to rise
Amen.
Up and say,
Hallelujah.
I'm going to live like God told me to live.
Amen.
And I am going to tell people about Him.
Amen.
It's time to catch fire, people.
Amen.
It is time to burn for him. It is time to speak for him. It is time to love for him.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen, Brittany. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. You aren't clapping for me. You're clapping for Jesus. Amen.
Praise the name of
the Lord. Listen, any shout or clap that goes on in this place doesn't go here.
Amen.
It goes straight up to him. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Let no man
Amen.
Glory in what he deserves. Amen.
Praise God.
He is the
Hallelujah.
Only one in this place that deserves all the honor, Amen. The glory, and the praise.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Woo!
Praise God.
I'm fired up this morning.
You know, when we were singing Speak the Name of Jesus, I was reminded of just a few years ago, there was a lady that was being robbed.
Yeah.
And the man came in and started to rob the place, and she just said, in the name of Jesus. You're not going to do this. She said, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. In the name of Jesus. And this guy took his gun, and he put it down, and he ran out of the store. I want you to know something. The name of Jesus is bigger than any situation you'll ever face
Absolutely.
In your life. Amen?
Amen?
Praise God. And don't ever discard the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Don't ever misconceive
Amen.
The power and the authority that's in the name that is not just reigning right now, but it says of all future worlds, the Lord shall be the preeminent one and shall reign. Amen?
Amen.
So we want to always rest in that goodness of God. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the
if
name of the Lord.
If you are not
Hallelujah.
In the women's chat and we're not here on Thursday night, did all you guys get enough, like, hear about Candy? Candy and Roger were on their way down to Georgia.
Karen.
Candy. What? Okay. Because Candy walked in, and I was excited that she walked in.
Amen. Praise God. It
see how, see what
see
effect
her.
You have on people, Candy.
Amen.
So Karen and Roger got in a pretty serious accident, totaled their car on the way down to Georgia with another couple that was in the back seat, and they hit, like, a cement thing. And they had to be life, the jaws of life, whatever that is. They had to take them out by that. God is so good. They said they're fine, except for bruises. Come on.
Amen.
Amen. And I want to read you. I think this is beautiful, and I think it's for everybody to hear. I think she wrote such a beautiful thing to us and a good reminder. Want to thank each and every one of you all for praying. I thank God for his protection and always being with us. This is another reminder for always making sure you are right with God, as we never know when our last breath will be taken. This is a good one. Also, this happened so fast that one's mind wasn't thinking about asking for forgiveness at that particular moment. You just don't know what was happening at that moment because you were trying to figure out what was happening. It felt like we were on a merry-go-round and didn't know when we were going to stop. We are all fine, except for some soreness. Let me tell you what. You know, some people wait. Oh, I'll get saved. And they think before that moment that they die, I'll just shout out Jesus, and he'll come and save me. Now, don't get it wrong. Jesus will come when you call his name.
Amen.
Amen. But let me tell you, and it's got to be from a pure heart, though. It can't be just a selfish reason. It's got to be from a pure heart. Amen. But you don't know. She said, in that moment, I wasn't thinking, if I'm not right with Jesus, I repent of anything that's in me. You got to make sure you're right all the time. Amen.
Amen.
I'm tired Hallelujah. Of hearing people say, well, I was born this way. You're just going to have to accept me the way I am. Oh, no.
Amen.
No.
Amen.
The Lord did not birth me with anger and sinful nature, no matter what sin Amen. It falls into. I wasn't Amen. Born with it. And the enemy, though, tries to put it on us.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And tries to make us
yes.
take an identity that's not ours.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Was I not a very angry person
Amen.
When you met me?
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Like, I think our first yeah. fight ended up in me punching you.
Yep. You threw something at me, and then you punched me.
Well, you were big. I was like trying to get the, and mind you, I came from an abusive relationship, and so my first thought was.
And remind you, I had to tell her, hey, this is how we're supposed to fight. We're supposed to yell, then you go to your space, I'll go to mine, then we kiss and make up.
Well,
amen.
Nobody
praise
told me
Lord.
That's how you fight, because that's not the way that somebody fought with me before. And so I was getting it in early. I thought, oh no, this ain't happening again. So I just punched him. I know.
Praise the Lord.
That's not who I was born to be.
Amen.
That is not who I was born to be.
Amen.
Phil, you were not born to be a single man sleeping around with a bunch of girls.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.
That's not.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Yes. The Lord says marriage is between a man and a woman.
Yep. Amen.
And that's where sex is allowed.
Amen.
Right?
Amen. Hallelujah. Yep.
But we think, oh, I'm just not satisfied by one person. That's sin.
Yeah.
That's sin in every bit of the nature of sin. If I go and I keep lying to Steve about something.
Amen.
That's sin. Phil lied to me last night.
Huh?
Yeah.
What?
Yes, I said, Phil, get off your phone. You said, I'm not on my phone. And I turn around and he's got the phone underneath his blankets.
No, sir. That is not true.
And he's reading the phone underneath his blankets.
That
is
not true.
You repent right now, because if you would die, you are going to hell.
Hey,
you did.
When you said, get off your phone, I wasn't on my phone. So I wasn't lying to you when I said, I'm not on my phone.
But I don't know.
But
I had my back turned to him. I turned and he was on his phone.
And she did yell at me.
I did. But the point is that, listen, your truth isn't right. My truth isn't right. God's truth is what's right.
Amen.
It's not meant to hurt or make anybody mad or upset anybody. It's to save your soul.
Amen.
It's to show you the love that God has for you.
Amen.
And to take you into the place where you can live with him for all eternity instead of being absent from him.
Amen.
Amen. We don't make the rules. We didn't write the word. We just have to live by it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's God's truth.
Mm-hmm.
And only God's truth.
Amen.
If I have an opinion, it don't matter.
Amen.
If it does not line up with the word of God, it doesn't matter.
Amen.
And trust me, I've said things along the way in my years that feels like, that. What are you talking about? That's not biblical. That's Regina 101 or something like as you said. But that was when I was learning, getting into the word. But thank God I had a husband that says, no, that's not what the word says. Come here.
Amen.
This is what the word says.
Yep.
Oh, I misinterpreted what I thought that said.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just go by the word. How about
Amen.
That?
Amen. Amen. Praise God.
I'm fired
Hallelujah.
Up today. You
Amen.
Must have a great word, because I'm ready to hear it.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Okay, so we've got going on. This coming Saturday, we have the Women's Breakfast. Candy's going to bring the word. I'm excited. She told me her title. It's going to be awesome. We're going to start it at 8 o'clock instead of 9, so be here earlier, just an hour earlier, Thursday night, because I always forget this. Men and women that come Thursday night, could you remind me to set tables up Thursday night so they're set up? I would appreciate it.
Amen.
And then we have the 21st is our church harvest party here at the church. At 5, I think we said 5, you guys bring just like a side dish. We're going to have the meat and the water. If you want anything more than water, bring that with you and your chairs and stuff. We'll have a fire out there. So, of course, you cannot have a fire without s'mores. So we'll
Amen.
Have that stuff. Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. And what the men's third
we'll
Saturday. Is it here still?
Yep. We'll have our third Saturday. And I think we're just going to stay the course. Through the end of the year to just be right here, praise God,
Weird.
And come together for fellowship and goodness. And also, I want to remind the men that beginning in November, praise the Lord, hallelujah, hallelujah. I got to get my little calendar out here.
Isn't that what that is?
You leave me alone. But on November 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th, we're going to do a fast, and so we'll be meeting in the evening on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday right here at around 6 o'clock on Sunday night, and then 7 o'clock on Monday and Tuesday to spend some time together in the Word and just confirming our fast and what we're believing God for as we go into the next year and as we want to be leaders for our families and all the good things that we're supposed to be in God. So we're going to do that, and it's going to be a blessing. Amen.
Amen.
And so I want you to join me, and it'll be good.
Amen. Hallelujah. And I did have somebody approach me and say they would like to do one for the women. So we're going to mark it on our calendar for November 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, and we'll break our fast at the women's breakfast that morning. And so if you want details on that, come see me, okay?
Amen.
And we'll talk about details.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
And then we have, okay, remember, no Thanksgiving midweek service, but we will have that Sunday service because Thursday is Thanksgiving and most everybody is with family or sleeping from all the food that they ate earlier, which would be me. And then for Christmas, we have our kids' Christmas party, our Christmas program, the 19th. Amen. This is my favorite part. I love it. Love it. So, and then Christmas Eve is on a Sunday. So, yep, we're going to have regular service on Sunday morning, and we're going to have a candlelight service that night for anybody that wants to attend. We'll start that at 6 o'clock. So that's exciting. And then we do have a guest speaker coming in November. Forget the dates right now, but it is Pastor John Javed from Pakistan, and I'm sure he's got a lot to talk about. Amen?
Amen.
And the faith and the tenacity he has for the Lord is amazing. So we'll get those dates and we'll post them out even so that we don't miss those dates. Did I miss anything?
But it's always good to get the perspective of someone who lives in a total different area than we do, a total different country, and has a total different kind of government and how the oppression that they've had to deal with and fight through to be able to do what we get to freely do,
Amen.
Which is to come and worship the Lord. Amen.
And then women's Christmas party.
Amen.
The first Saturday in December at noon.
Woo-hoo! Amen. Praise God.
Women, you should be clapping over that.
Amen.
It's a blast.
All right. So we're going to take some time right now that all the children and the teens that are here go to your classes. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And then it is offering time, and we are blessed to have our former mayor here with us today, so we're going to have him come up, and he's going to take up the offering for today. Hallelujah. Amen.
Did you know this?
Hey, he's supposed to be ready in season and out of season. Be ready with the word of God. Amen.
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 Can we get 3 John 2nd verse on the screen, please? I was just thinking about when Regina hit Phil that after he woke up, hopefully they kissing made up.
Amen.
You know, because your pastor's a little soft, so just let you know.
Amen.
Well, most of you know I attend Bakken's, and I was almost late getting here. Ladies could probably relate to this. I was just having a bad hair day, and just one hair, it just wouldn't go where I wanted it to go. So anyway, I made it just on time. Hallelujah. 3 John, yes, it's right up there. We can't get it up there? Oh, there we go. No, 3 John, 2nd verse. Hallelujah. We're going to fire you. How much do you pay him? 3 John 2. I can just quote it if you want me to. I'd like you to see it, actually. 3 John 2nd verse. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. 3 John 2nd verse. Hallelujah. Well, God is good.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, one time God told me he's not only good all the time, he was good before time, he's good during time, and he's going to be good when there is no time again. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes we forget we have the eternal life. We have heaven to gain. What an awesome, awesome future we hold. Hallelujah.
They got it.
Oh, all right, don't shout me down yet. It says, beloved, I wish above all things, or that I like to say, my perfect will for you is in all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers, even as thy thinking changes, beloved. See, his term beloved is the same thing that he called his son Jesus. We are God's beloved. When you see that term in the Bible, God is speaking to you. God loves you as much as he loves Jesus. And so he's saying, my will for you, my perfect will for each and every one of my children is that you walk in health and you prosper. You know, a couple of months ago, I was sharing with your pastor. I was walking and God spoke to me and said, you know, my children need to quit acting like people, like Gentiles is actually what he said. And I got to thinking about that. You know, a Gentile is somebody that does not have a God, somebody that's separated from God. And then he went on a little further, and he said, you know, it's healing is good, but he said, why don't my children talk about divine health? And then he said, blessing is good, but why don't my children talk about divine wealth? Well, I'll tell you why. Because we don't have a deep revelation of that term, beloved, that God loves us that much. And you know, God loves us. God loves us so much that he sent his son to die for us. It can't get any deeper than that. And the Bible says, God has freely given us Jesus. Shall he not freely give us all things? Amen? He loves us, and we have to grow in that love. And when we tithe, you know, I've heard so much, there's so much I need to want to say, but I'm going to keep it short. But, you know, the Bible says, will you rob God? Well, people say, oh, God doesn't curse people. No, 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 he doesn't. The curse is out there. But what you do is when we don't tithe and when we don't give offerings, we rob God of an opportunity to bless us. Yeah. See, God loves us so much. He just wants us to walk in divine health and divine wealth. That is his perfect plan for each and every one of us. Amen?
Amen.
And when we tithe and when we give, we need to speak those promises. You know, all the promises are God are yes and what? Amen.
Amen.
Right? Old covenant, new covenant, it doesn't matter. All the promises are yes and amen. You know, somebody said something the other day about, oh, the tithe is old covenant. I said, so what? It's a great, who would not want that promise of the tithe? He said, you'll walk under an open heaven. He'll rebuke the devourer for his sake. And it's an overflowing blessing. He said, I'll pour it out on you that you can't even contain it. You continue to give it away. But see, we have to realize that God loves us that much. Amen?
Amen.
And I do believe this. I believe we're in a season right now that God is wanting us to think bigger than ever before. God wants us to expand our thinking and start thinking. Like when we tithe, start reminding God, start thanking God. Lord, I thank you that you've blessed me. God, I thank you that your favor is upon me. I thank you, God, that I walk under an open heaven. It's time for us to use our faith. You know, we're talking about the name of Jesus in Acts 3, after the crippled man got healed. Peter stood up and he said, not only this name, but faith in that name. So when we put the tithe and offering in motion, we're really putting Jesus in motion. And we need to expect God to do what he said he would do. And I'm telling you, time is short, and God is pouring out, I believe, a supernatural grace upon the church to fulfill everything that the prophets had talked about for us to fulfill. And I believe he's raising up a great army. And, it takes money for revival. And God said, all the silver, all the gold is mine. But see, he's wanting us to get into a place that our thinking lines up with what his thinking is. Amen. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. We need to start thinking like Jesus. Jesus didn't think of lack. He never saw lack. Whenever he encountered it, he took care of it. Amen. So we need to expand our thinking and start expecting God to do what God said he would do. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, Father, we just thank you. If you could, you bring the buckets up. Or Father, we just thank you, God, for this offering, this tithe, God, that we get to give to you, Father. And God, I pray, God, that every person, God, Lord, whether they're sowing a seed, whether they're tithing, God, Lord, that they'll start expecting you, God, to do what you said you would do, Father. Now, God, I just speak blessing. God, you said, Lord, that you have blessed us and your favor surrounds us as a shield. Now, Father God, I just speak blessing upon this congregation. God, I just thank you, God, for financial prosperity beyond, God. Lord, you said in Ephesians 3, anything we could ask or even think, God. Now, Lord, let them know that they're loved. And God, let them know that you want to bless them more than anything, Father God. I heard a minister say that God is more willing to give than we are to receive. And I thought that was pretty powerful. Now, Father, I just thank you for your blessing upon him, God, and upon this tithe and offering in Jesus' name. And everyone says, amen. Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you for that encouraging, good word there, Brother Randy. We appreciate that. Hallelujah. And we're going to step right into the Word of God and talking about being transformed in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know what's so powerful is that the Bible declares that once we become the Lord's, we're not our own anymore. Amen? Once we belong to Jesus, we're not our own. And what that means is that once we walk in relationship with the Lord, we no longer get to do things our way. We get the blessed opportunity to do things God's way. Amen? That word, be ye transformed and present your body a living sacrifice. It doesn't say that this is an extraordinary thing. It says that this is your reasonable service. It says that this should be your expectation, that once we declare that Jesus is Lord, we're also declaring that it's no longer our way, it's his way. Amen? And what it means is that we now take a look at our life through the lens of Jesus. Remember, the Bible says, my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. They're actually higher and require you to come up to a new place where you can see things the way the Lord sees. And the goodness about seeing things the way God sees is that he says, I have not one evil thought of you. Amen? Isn't that profound? That the Lord says, not one negative thought does he have towards us. Good thoughts and not of evil, to bring you to an expected outcome. And what that means is that when you partner with God, you partner with him for life. You partner for him for the rest of your days. And I just want to share something here with you that it says in the book of James, praise God, hallelujah. In the book of James, chapter 4, I'm going to begin to read in verse 13. It says, go to know ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to good and do it not, to him it is sin. You know what this verse declares unto us is that every moment that we get is precious. Every moment that we get is gracious. Remember, the Bible says, in him we live, breathe, and have our very being. And what that means to all of us is that, yes, we're always going to have hope for tomorrow. Yes, we're always going to prepare for tomorrow. I tell you what, we're always going to believe for the next day, but we also want to make sure that everything we're doing in this moment that we're living now is an opportunity to reflect the Lord. You know, there was a season, especially when I was transitioning from being in the world to being saved, where I would really tell you that I would focus on things like this, and I would say to myself, how am I treating my wife or my son if peradventure I would leave and go and they weren't going to see me again? Have I left them with something that encourages them? Have I left them with something that reflects Jesus? Have I left them in a place where they can have hope for tomorrow? You know, there's a story in the Bible where a woman lost her husband. And that is so discouraging. I couldn't, you know, think about that poor woman who lost her husband and she had two children and they had debts and things like that they owed. But what I thought was so amazing was that when she lost her husband, instead of entering into that depression and that discouragement and having an issue with God and turning away from him, she immediately went to the prophet and said, hey, here's my situation. My husband has died. I got two sons that are going to take from me because of the bills we owe, and I need help from the Lord. And of course, it's the story of the woman who went and filled vessels with oil, and not only did it pay her debts, but it provided for her and her children and their future. But what I thought was amazing was that when she went to the prophet, the first thing she declared was who her husband was and how he had lived. And I want you to know something that I think it's critical for each one of us to make sure that we're living a life, whether we're a husband or a wife, whether we're a mother or a father, whether we're a brother or a sister, or whether we're a friend or even an acquaintance to someone that we work with, I think that we should know that it's our responsibility to live this life in such a way that they're fortified by our faith, by our walk, and by who we are in Jesus. Amen? You know, I want you to know something, that we all have a personal responsibility to live a life that's accountable to the Lord, right? We know that the Bible says that we must study to show ourselves approved. The Bible also says that there's coming a day where we have to give our own account of how we lived and why we lived and what we lived. But we also remember that the Bible says, in the multitude of counsel, there's safety. We also remember that the Bible says that no man is an island. We also remember that as we discover and know God, that we not only have to find a purpose, but we also discover that the Lord says that part of our responsibility is to be reconcilers and supporters of others. Remember, just about a month or so, we preached on the fact that the Lord says those who are strong must carry the burdens of the weak. Amen? And so I just want to look at something that should continue to take us into these places of responsibility and knowing that not only are we living this life for ourselves, but we're living this life for others also. And we're also living this life for the ultimate goal is the step beyond this world into our future, which is eternal life with Jesus. Amen? Praise the name of the Lord. So I just want to read something to you here that I think is very powerful, and we're going to look at Mark chapter 2, I believe. Praise God. Yes. And it says in Mark chapter 2, and again he, meaning Jesus, entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. So we find that Jesus is in a house where people have heard that he's there preaching, and it gets so crowded that you can't even come through the front door, which means that people are reaching out into the area outside of the house, and that it's very crowded and that there's many people there. You know, it reminds me of being in Uganda. I was in a church in Uganda that seated 30,000 people. But when we were there preaching, there were so many miracles that happened that before we knew it, by about the second or third night of this thing, people started gathering outside of the place that couldn't fit in when we already had 30,000 people. And by the end of the week, there's like 100,000 people there. And when we would do an altar call, they'd bang against the door and all kinds of stuff. It was a wild scene. And I don't know why I'm telling this story, but I'm going to stay here just for a minute. And one thing that happened was, you know, there's a scripture in the Bible that says that the Apostle Paul was preaching and someone fell out of a tree and he prayed for them and they got restored. And it says that he preached into the morning light. And I got to tell you, one of the things I've always said is, Lord, one day I want to have to preach all night into the morning. Well, when I went to Uganda, I got my wish. Hallelujah. Because we ended up starting to pray for people at about 12 o'clock. And I tell you what, we stayed there till about 3:30 in the morning, laying hands on all those people. And so what I'm telling you that story about is because I want you to know something, that I believe even here in America, there's coming days where the hunger and thirst for the Lord will be so much that the church will not be able to contain everything that God does. Amen? I believe there's going to be, amen. I believe there's going to be a quickening of the people seeking the Lord, just like they were here in this moment. And it says, and he preached the word unto them, and they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nay unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why does this man this speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they were reasoning in this way within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your heart? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk? And before I get to the conclusion of the matter, which I'm sure you already know, there's a couple things here that I'd like to touch on. First of all, countless times in the Bible, we see that Jesus in the midst of many people, amen? That masses are around him. He's crowded by lots of people. But I always think that it's so important for us to realize that in the middle of how busy he was preaching, surrounded by everybody else, he still has the ability to notice the individual. Remember, he was walking through a crowd and a woman just reached out and touched the hem of his garment. And he said, "Who touched me?" And all his disciples said, "Lord, what are you thinking with all these people around? What are you saying?" And he said, no, someone has touched me. I want to encourage you and remind you today that you are enough to touch the ear of Jesus. I want you to be reminded in the Bible that Hannah was a woman that loved God, and she was lamenting in the temple, in the sanctuary, in such a way that the man of God thought she was crazy because she never said a word out of her mouth, but what she thought in her heart was enough to touch the supernatural ability of God to bring changes in her life. Praise God. Remember, he says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways," and that his thoughts he has for you are more than the sand. We've got to remember that even the thoughts and the prayers we say internally go up to God and he hears them. Amen? Praise the name of the Lord. But I just want to remind you that in this situation, Jesus is so busy preaching and doing all this, but he made time to touch this individual life. And here's what also I want to bring to the forefront for you, is that this person couldn't get there on their own. It's amazing. It took four people getting uncomfortable, four people getting beyond themselves. How did these four people even decide to bring this person before the Lord? Well, I'm speaking to you this morning. You need to understand something, that when the Lord brings change to your life, you are an avenue for God to bring change to someone else's life. You know, in fact, sometimes some of the things you have gone through in life and been redeemed from are actually a platform for you to touch someone else who may have went through what you went through that doesn't have the ability to get free on their own. Amen. We have to be careful because sometimes we can think, "Hey, I got over it. Why can't they get over it?" That's not the attitude the Lord wants us to have, is it? He says that when you see your brother in a fault, and that means whether you've been there or not, when you see them in that situation, do your best to quickly restore them that they may be recovered. Amen? And so what I just want to remind you for a few minutes here is that sometimes I want us to take our eyes off of just ourselves and think about the potential of what would happen if we reached out to someone else. You know, I think it's amazing, too, because here they are struggling to carry this person to this place where Jesus is. And here, when they get there, the obstacles don't get less. They get bigger. It doesn't say that they opened up room and helped these people bring this person in. It says that the crowd was so big that they couldn't even fight against the crowd. But they didn't give up, did they? They came up with a way to go forward anyway. And even though they had carried that person, we don't know how far, but think about carrying someone, even a short distance. So we don't know how far they carried this person, but what was so amazing is that they didn't give up there. They stretched themselves physically to a new level of intensity when they brought that person up to the roof and then carefully lowered them down to where Jesus could touch them. And I think it's powerful because the Lord said, hey, what great faith. You know, sometimes I don't think that we really grasp a hold of the capacity of what our faith can do. Praise God. You know, I want to remind you that the Bible says that you have an anointing, an unction, a touch from the Holy Ghost. I want you to know something, that when you are being a husband, when you are being a wife, when you are being a brother, a sister, or a friend, that you are not in that capacity by your own power and your own ability. Remember, Brother Randy said, hey, the Lord told him, quit thinking like a Gentile. You have something to bring to a situation that is beyond yourself because the Lord has anointed and appointed you and gives you the grace, the glory, and the authority of His presence, His ability, and His Spirit to be who you are. Praise the name of the Lord. And so we want to make sure that we're always walking in those dimensions and that we're never limiting God's ability to do something on our behalf. I think it's so amazing that these people were on a journey, and when they got there, I'm sure they didn't expect to see that crowd. They didn't expect to be in a position where they were not able to get through just by the normal course of walking or getting somebody there and being able to just walk right into the Lord. But what's amazing is that even though their circumstances, I'm sure, were different than what they anticipated, what's powerful is they didn't give up. They didn't turn back, and they didn't stop. I want to encourage you this morning by letting you know that oftentimes we will have a thought, a vision, or see something and think that we know exactly how something's going to work out when we start pursuing even that which God gives us to do. But I want to tell you that after years of using my faith, I've come to understand that even when I get to the end of something that I was believing God for, it usually happens differently than I thought it was going to. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I remember building this building, and I had boldly put out there that the new building was coming in 2014. Well, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I had to humbly come and wipe that off of there. But I didn't change the whole statement. Amen? I said, the new building is coming. Praise God. Hallelujah. But I had to leave room for the timing of the Lord to come through. Amen? Praise the name of the Lord. And it says here that the Lord said something that's powerful. What is easier for me? To say thy sins are forgiven or to rise up and walk? It's amazing because these people in that moment had faith to believe that, hey, maybe he can get this man healed. But what they weren't expecting and weren't ready for was the power of the blood to go beyond what at that time they thought it could possibly do. And Jesus was letting them know, get ready, be prepared, because I'm not just here to touch you in the natural, but I'm here to touch you in the realm of the supernatural. Amen? The Lord is here to remind us that, yes, He will heal us in the physical, and He wants to do so. He will touch us in our finances, and He wants to do so. He will touch us in our relationships and all our endeavors, but also remember that the Lord even told His disciples, hey, you've seen all these miracles and you've seen what can happen out there when you're using my name, and I thank God for that. He said, but most importantly, don't ever forget Him who has the responsibility to declare that you go into heaven or not. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. I just want to bring up the fact that Jesus was letting them know that the same name that will set you free and heal you is the same name that will save you, resurrect you, cause you to be a new creature, and give you new life. Amen? Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I just want to go here and just read something to you out of Mark chapter 10. Praise God. Mark chapter 10, verse 28. It says, "Then Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all and followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that have left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life." I want you to see something here. That the Lord is telling us and reminding us, hey, without fail, if you will give up how you're living life now and come to me, not only will I restore to you in this life you're living. I tell you what, I thank God for all the biological relationships that God gives us. I thank God for sisters and brothers. I thank God for a father and a mother, and I thank God for husband and wife. But the Lord is saying here, if you embrace those things through me, they're going to be way more than they ever would be if you had those things on your own. If you experience life without me, it will not be what it is if you experience it with me. I just want to encourage you today that sometimes people are afraid to go deeper with the Lord because of what they may have to give up, or what they're afraid of losing, and what they're afraid of not experiencing or giving up on or losing out of. And I want to encourage you this morning, go deeper with the Lord, because the deeper you go with him, the more he can give back to you. Amen? And the more he will give back to you. The more he will touch our life. The more he will fortify us. The more he will strengthen us. The more he will bring us into new places. You know, I want to remind you of something. That the Bible says life is but a vapor. It says that it appears for a moment but vanishes quickly. Well, I was just reading the story of someone that was 103 years old. Woo! And I tell you what, I've lived a long life so far, and I know I got more to live, but I tell you, it doesn't seem that short to me. But I also tell you this. What this really is reflecting to is that when we think about eternal life and we think about eternity, remember, the Bible says a day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as a day unto the Lord. Because eternity is forever. And when we get to that side of things, then this life we live will be a glimmer and just a glimpse of the time that we will spend in eternity with God. I want to keep reminding us as often as I can that we're not on this journey just to live a good life while we're here, but we're on this journey to make sure that our faith is lived out in such a way that we get to hear the Lord say, "Hey, well done, thou good and faithful. Come on in." That's the Lord's greatest thought towards us and his biggest hope for us. You know, I thank God that the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, I believe, that the Bible says that it is the will of God for all to be saved. Praise God. Isn't it awesome to know that God's faith is so extraordinary that every person that is born into this world, not only does he have a will and a purpose for them, but he also has a hope and a desire that above all, they would give their life to him. Praise God. Let that expand our thought of God's love and God's hope and God's goodness towards our life. Remember, when we think about these four people bringing this man in, we got to remember that these four people helped this guy get someplace where he couldn't get on his own. You know, I thank God for my mom's faith, because I believe her faith laid a foundation for my salvation. Remember when the Lord came to set the people free and he was talking in the book of Exodus, he said, I'm here to set my people free. But he referenced the fact that it was the faith of their forefathers that had brought him to that point where he was ready to rescue. Some of you might not know it, but in your life and in your walk, your help laying out a foundation for other people to come to the Lord. Praise God. Don't let the enemy fight you. Don't let the enemy discourage you. I don't care if you have a loved one that you've been believing God for years. Praise God. Hallelujah. I remember the story of a lady who had prayed and was believing God for her husband, and he died. And right there, even though he had died in the hospital, she said, Lord, whoa, whoa, whoa. He can't go yet because he's not saved yet. And guess what? He came back. Praise God. And even told her that he had saw some things on the other side that made him believe, and he got saved and lived for the Lord until he died. See, I want you to understand something. Your faith can do more than you believe it can. Your faith is not just a precious life-giving vessel for you, but remember, the Bible says that your faith overcomes this world. And I want you to know that you can pray, you can believe, and you can walk through some things. And I also want to remind you that the Bible gives promises that sometimes it will take you a season to see. The Bible encourages parents to do what? Raise your children up in the way of the Lord, and when they're older, they will not depart. Praise the Lord. Doesn't mean that he will spare you from the times that they might run this way and that way. Remember, there is a man in the Bible who blessed his son with all of his future and his fortunes of what he had saw be accumulated by serving God. And that young man went off and ran away and just lived an unruly life. But the father stayed the course. The father kept believing. The father kept serving God, and before you know it, his son got a taste of darkness enough to come back and say, Father, I've made a mistake. If I could even be a servant in your house. And of course, the father, just like the Lord would do for us, restored him to the fullness of life and the fullness of sonship. But I just want to encourage you this morning to know that not only is God with you, but who you are makes a difference, not just for yourself, but for others also. And we need to make sure that our hearts are open to be transformed by the Lord. Amen? Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Says here in the book of Romans something that is very profound for us, and I just want to go there for a minute. But in Romans chapter 6, it says in verse 21, what fruit had ye then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. This is a declaration of the fact that the way we were living before we were serving God wasn't leading us anywhere but to destruction. In fact, the Bible says that there's a way that seems right unto man, but the end of it will lead to destruction. And that's living a life without the Lord as Lord and Savior and without putting your trust in Him. But now being made free from sin and having become servants of God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. I want to remind you that the biggest reason we want to live right after we're saved is because that's laying the foundation for us to walk into that moment that the Lord can receive us up. Remember, the Bible says, without holiness, no man shall see God. And that doesn't just mean that I'm going to wait to the end of this journey, but holiness is something that we should endeavor to live in on a day-to-day basis. Amen? We should try to treat people right. We would try to love right. We should try to speak right. We should try to live right on a day-to-day basis so that we're always making room to see God here in this life. Not just when we get to heaven, but I want to see Him do the miracles that He has for my life. I want to see Him touch the lives of other people. I want to see Him do what He does to bring people out of darkness and into salvation. And I want to do my part to the best of my ability to live in a way that He can use my life to touch others. Amen? It says here, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, another scripture says this to us, now being saved, produce the fruits in your life that are a reflection of Jesus Christ. Amen? And we want to make sure that every day we have the opportunity to, that we are being transformed, that we are living for the Lord, and that we also know that one of the biggest things we're ever going to be known for is our love. Amen? And let's express that love through our faith in God, our relationship with God, and also how we treat other people. Amen? Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just exalt You, Lord. We just declare Your goodness and Your mercy, Father God. And Father, we're reminded today that this life does go by quickly. I can remember, Lord, the time that my Philip was just a little baby boy. And the day he pulled out of the driveway to drive a car, and it shook me at my knees. Hallelujah. But Father, life goes before us in moments, God. And Father, I pray that in every moment of this thing called life, every day we would live for You. Father, every day we would put You first. And every day we want to get to the end of that day being able to reflect on Your touch on our life, Father. Lord, we thank You for Your goodness. And we exalt You and lift You up and declare Your goodness in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, we put Haley before You right now, Father. And Father, we speak over Haley Smith concerning, God, Father, MS and these things that have flared up, Father. And Lord, in the name of Jesus, we command this to come out of her, Father. In the name of Jesus, we loose the working of miracles and healing to flow into her, Father. Let her be restored. Let her be healed, Father. And as she walks through any process to recovery, Father, that Your hand would be touching every situation, Father, and bringing her to healing and health. And we thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And Lord, I'm just going to pray again and thank You for Jim and the work You're doing in him, Father. The restoration, the healing, the recovery, Father. And Lord, I thank You for it in Jesus' name. Lord, we put Amy before you, Lord. And Father, I thank you that you're healing, touching, delivering, and setting her free. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And before we leave today,